Do you remember the infamous quote by former US President Richard Nixon when David Frost asked him during the legendary TV interviews if a US president could do something illegal if it was in the interests of the nation? And Nixon answered, well, when the president does it, that means it's not illegal. That was in 1977, half a lifetime ago. Half a lifetime that separates us from a world where, well, rot had set in, and our world of now, our world of irredeemable corruption. Expressed like that, in the context of the interests of a nation, Nixon's hubris almost made sense. Almost, but not really. Before I go any further, please let me remind you to subscribe to my Patreon.com channel. Go to Patreon.com, look for me, part with a bit of cash, and it's that financial support that enables the channel to be and to grow. I think about that line of Nixon's as I continue to come to terms with the world in which we now live. We are in a post-truth world. Post-truth. In which the powerful openly do whatever they want. And if they can be bothered, they might have their lackeys write the relevant legislation so that they might fake legitimacy for the sake of keeping up appearances. If they can be bothered. 99% of their legislation, maybe 100% of it, is no more than workarounds. Get out of jail free cards. Legislation is not the same as lawful. Legislation is not lawful. Legislation is the antithesis of the law. The only law is common law. The law of the land, arising from natural law, which children sense, even without having to be told. It's instinctual. That law boils down to, you phrase it various ways, but it's about doing no harm to other people. Respecting other people's property and causing no damage or upset. And my rights end where yours begin and yours begin where mine end. That's it. We all understand this deep down, whether or not we respect it. Knowing something and doing something are two different things, but we all know. And all the legislation on the statute books is just about making it legal for the powerful to be unlawful. You see it all the time. Thou shalt not kill. Except we'd like to invade that country and kill everyone. Thou shalt not steal. Except we're going to come and collect income tax from you, whether you like it or not. Thou shalt not lie. You know, thou shalt not bear false witness. Except if it's in the national interest. In which case we'll lie to you with a straight face. And so the truth is that we live in a lawless world in which the powerful are bound by no constraints whatever, not even by morality. In the manner of Richard Nixon long ago, if the powerful do it, then, well, then it's legal by definition as far as they're concerned. That's the end of the matter. For years now, we've been told the war in Ukraine is about the defence of democracy. This has always been insulting nonsense. Given that the war has always been about working towards the collapse of Russia. That's what it's about. So that its vast resources might be harvested by the nations of the West, which broadly speaking meant the United States of America. Ukraine has been turned into a charnel house, of course, but the million plus casualties have been irrelevant in the face of vested Western interests making money and covering up decades of corruption. In that country, in which they have all bathed. Bioweapons labs, anyone? Rare earth and arable land for BlackRock and its owners. The war was triggered by a US-led coup that toppled a democratically elected president of Ukraine, President Viktor Yanukovych, love him or loathe him, who was aligned with Moscow. And his replacement, after the coup, were aligned with Washington. Democracy has not been defended in Ukraine. Of course it hasn't. Democracy has been subverted. for profit and power. More recently, democracy has been subverted in Romania, where the front runner in the presidential elections, Georgescu, has been arrested, essentially for looking likely to win. He's of the extreme right. Well, according to his foes, whatever far right even means now. It's ironic that he's vilified for being of the right, because despite what you might have understood about the causes of the Second World War, the apparent intentions of the Allies, insofar as they were broadcast to the gullible public, it turns out the fascists won the Second World War, and the communists as well, in every way that matters. At most, the Nazis laid low for a while, Operation Paperclip and all that jazz, by which unknown numbers of Nazis were spirited away to the United States of America to build rockets and run state education and everything else. It's fascism, naked outright fascism, that underpins the modus operandi and ideologies of those determined to retain their hold on power in the West. And fascism is communism. Communism gave birth to fascism. But that's a story for another day. Call it what you will, but the intention is the same. Do what you like, ignore the people, and if they complain, crush them. Lock them in their houses, for example. Or take them to war. As Gerald Celente says, when all else fails, they take you to war. By now, they're calling what they're doing stakeholder capitalism, which is big business in bed with big government and to hell with the people. A means to justifying the silence of the opposition, the censorship of anything that's true but inconvenient to the state-sponsored narrative, cancelling elections. Do as you will and say as you will, but that's fascism by any other name. The official line is that in Romania, Georgescu had violated the obligation to defend democracy. That's why they arrested him. You know, democracy based on fair, honest and impartial elections. You know, how often do we hear that? But as my former GB News colleague Mark Stein commented on his platform this week, so in Romania, the very obligation to defend democracy and fair, honest and impartial elections means removing the leading candidate. Back in February, Georgescu was arrested on his way to register as a candidate, prompting tens of thousands of Romanians to march on Bucharest's streets in protest at the flouting, the subversion of the democratic process. Georgescu was charged with attempting to overthrow constitutional order, and he was also accused of membership of a neo-fascist organisation. Oh, the irony. He's denied all wrongdoing. Former European Union Commissioner Thierry Breton has boasted about how the voice of the people was cancelled in Romania by decree. Quote, we did it in Romania, and of course we will have to do it if necessary in Germany, he said. I mean, that's a reference to the ADF, you know, the alternative for Germany that's popular, but, you know, flies in the face of the fascist narrative. In Syria, an Al-Qaeda terrorist has been proclaimed president, and the states of the West have been falling over themselves to recognise his legitimacy. He wears a suit and tie now, so he's one of them. £20,000 watch on his wrist, allegedly. All of it, all the trappings. The British government sent Jolani's regime £50 million. A trifling, but tossed into the coffers along with several similar contributions from EU states and the United States. UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy said the money would support, quote, an inclusive government in the country. An inclusive government. This is a Syria where, since the fall of Assad, women must cover themselves to the tips of their fingers, where women are told on banners in the street that their place is in the kitchen. Inclusive. For days now, longer, agents of the Jolani regime have been going from house to house and street to street in towns and cities in Syria's northwest coastal areas, and torturing and murdering the men, women and children they find there. The victims are from the Alawite minority and also Christians. Thousands of them. Christianity is always the target. Not Islam, not Judaism, but Christianity. And that's because Jesus recognised a different God, but that's another story for another day. The killers are filming their atrocities on their smartphones and posting the unspeakable footage on social media so that the world might see they mean business. You know, this is what happens to you if you contemplate being in any form of opposition to us. Hard to see who will feature in David Lammy's inclusive government in that benighted country if everyone unacceptable to Jolani and Al-Qaeda is butchered first anyway. I spoke to my friend, Syrian investigative journalist Kevork Almasian this week. His grandparents' generation fled the genocide of the Armenians by the Ottoman Turks before, during and after World War I. And they found a haven among the Muslims of Syria. And all was relatively well until 2011, when efforts got underway to topple the Alawite regime of then-President Bashar al-Assad. By now, all of Kevork's extended family are out of Syria and elsewhere in the world, driven from their homes by fear of murder. Kevork has said the death toll of the latest atrocities, estimated at around 450 dead every day, is reminiscent of the Armenian genocide of 120 years ago. It progressed in that way. 450 a day, 450 a day, more or less. And so it goes. It turns out that contrary to what some of us were told at school, genocide's not wrong. Apparently genocide's right when it happens to the right people. Who knew? We live in a lawless world where the powerful apply the methods of organised crime. We might as well be under the thumb of the Cray twins of old London town. We have been disarmed. We pay protection money in the form of tax or else. And by now, if you speak out of line, well, you might lose everything. The corruption of the powerful is absolute and not even hidden. We see it and know it and nothing changes. This is the truth, and yet it doesn't matter in a post-truth world. By now, what I notice most of all is how many people simply don't want to know what's going on. Well, that's how I read it. In the old story from childhood, the emperor is naked because he's been conned into wearing a suit of clothes that is non-existent. And when the little boy in the crowd says as much, he's naked. Everyone realises that the little boy's right and they laugh accordingly. But in our world, the little boy pointed out the nakedness of the emperor long ago. And yet most people still choose to see an emperor in a suit of sharp threads. Too many people evidently prefer or need, desperately need to see the emperor is smartly dressed because they won't contemplate the alternative. We used to learn that no one is above the law. Now that that's evidently not the case, when the powerful make up the law as they go along, our government and others besides trade not in truth but in lies, only lies. They lie and they are lawless. It's that simple. The state, so-called, or the globalist project, it's organised crime on the global scale. It's that simple. If that's the case, and show me evidence to the contrary by all means, but if that's the case, then surely, for the rest of us, all bets are off.